Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who's ready for hour number two on the early line? We are, that's for sure. SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Talked about a lot of pretty good topics here in hour number one. Got a ton more good topics in hour number two. Yesterday, we actually talked a little NBA as well. Today, let's get right back to it. Why? Because never stops the momentum in the NBA. Something is always going on. It's supposed to be a downtime. Guys are supposed to be on vacation in the islands, Kevin. But here we go. How about this? The Los Angeles Lakers get their guy, maybe a different guy. It's not Kyrie Irving, but it's Patrick Beverley to add some of that grit and grime to that locker room. Good move for the Lakers here, Kevin.
A precursor move, right? I don't think this is a move that Pelinka calls up LeBron and says, huh? I did it. Let's go win a title. I think there's more that has to come here, and we can get to that in a second. But on its face, Pat Bev, while a menace, no doubt, this is one of the better defensive guards the NBA has to offer. Just one defensive advanced statistic from last season, okay? Defensive box score plus minus. Guards that were above Pat Bev last year, just three. Chris Paul, Matisse Thybulle, and Gary Payton. And guys that qualified by playing 58 games or more, which is what you need to qualify for the NBA statistical leaderboard. So again, Donnie, if you're the Lakers, you're trying to get your defensive prowess back, which was a huge part of the season that you won a championship, something that Darvin Ham has preached nonstop, then bringing in a Patrick Beverley makes sense. Stanley Johnson felt like he could be a part of this team, but I don't think Stanley Johnson is a guy that you're looking for to be the end-all, be-all. And here's the deal on THT, all right? The Lakers at one point thought he was untouchable, a mistake, wasn't panning out. But do you really need to compound a mistake, Donnie, and hold the line that that guy's untouchable? Very touchable. Very movable. I do think the Lakers roster is improved by putting Patrick Beverley on it.
Yeah, one of those guys here, if you're a fan base, right, you get Patrick Beverley on your team. You love that guy. Patrick Beverley's on another team coming into your building. You hate that guy. So one of those lightning rod type players, which I do think will help the Los Angeles Lakers out. But does this move signify, Kevin, that's it for the Lakers? They can't do anything else. Kyrie Irving is not going to move on with the Brooklyn Nets because Kevin Durant is there and Ben Simmons, and they want to run it all back. Is there still some maneuverability for the Los Angeles Lakers now sitting at 24-1 at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the championship next year?
100%. And again, I think that this right here signifies that, not the other direction, because I'm sure some people maybe, oh, all right, this is what the Lakers' plan is. No. The Lakers, Donnie, have two available roster spots right now and could easily create a third if they waive Wenyen and Gabriel. The Lakers right now are going to be set up into a position, I believe, to start Patrick Beverley as their point guard, because I think this does pretty much all but guarantee Russell Westbrook will be traded, right? First of all, Pat Bev and Westbrook as a 1-2 punch at the point at the guard and two-guard position, not what you're looking for. Secondly, one of the most genuine rivalries, Donnie, perhaps in the entire league between Westbrook and Patrick Beverley, not just friendly jaw-jacking there, two guys that very much so I do not think could coexist and figure it out. And again, are you really bringing in Pat Bev to be your eighth man? I don't believe so. I think he steps in, fills the one role after Westbrook is moved. My guess is the Indiana Pacers move is probably on the horizon, and the Lakers try and see if they bring in Buddy Hield and Miles Turner to fill this team out.
There you go. Interesting stuff there. Let's welcome in the radio audience here watching the early line on a Thursday morning. It's Sonny Wrightside. It's Kevin Wall, SiriusXM channel 159 on the grid. Now, I have to switch a little bit up in the NBA here. Rookie of the year. Well, looks like we had one of those chances to get a rookie of the year for Chet Holmgren and the OKC Thunder. Maybe not the case right now, because we do know, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Oklahoma City, hey, the guy's injured. Ooh, we need to rush him back by Christmas here. No, they don't. They love tanking and adding extra draft picks and high draft picks. But if I'm asking you right now, we look at Paolo Banchero, a plus 240 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, now to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Keegan Murray at a plus 550 price, but Chet Holmgren comes in 7-1. Most people will say, I'm not betting Chet Holmgren now to win Rookie of the Year, because Paolo Banchero is probably going to have a completely healthy season, and if he does, he'll have more statistics. Is there value, or is there a betting option for you on taking Banchero over Chet Holmgren, or vice versa? You like the 7-1 right now, and you'll take that.
Yeah, fantastic question. I don't think you can even entertain the Chet number. I mean, we don't have a timetable. Let's get this thing back to 40-1. And we can talk all of a sudden on, let me hope he's not out all that long. 7-1, Donnie's the fifth choice on the board here. Now that's the appropriate move from the FanDuel Sportsbook. We don't have a timetable. Why, you can't drop him back all of that far, but there's no value on Chet right now. Because, and the thing for me is, if you told me that he was going to play all 82, no questions asked, I picked Chet to win Rookie of the Year. That's never the expectation, though, as a member of the Thunder. Okay, so he misses the first half of the season instead of the second half of the season. But the tank is all the same. And to your point, I do believe Banchero is the person that gets the biggest boost. Yeah, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, they move up the board a little bit here. But look at the separation now. It felt for me like Holmgren and Banchero, Donnie, were in their own tier in terms of Rookie of the Year candidates. Now that's a one-man tier for Banchero.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch it play out. And also, we don't know the final prognosis here for Chet Holmgren. So if we're looking forward where maybe he's back by the start of the season, you can find that value. Now, we're going to try to find some value here on that Major League Baseball board. Stay tuned right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview time. Just feels right. Feels right to go out there and provide you some baseball preview. I assume that Donnie has a winners only slate today, because I mean, all these games are listed in green, and I'm assuming that's what that's about there. Certainly not any laziness or it's fine. Definitely intentional. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but Donnie, and that's okay. Rays, Angels, Rasmussen, Sandoval, minus 174 on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the piping hot Tampa Bay Rays. Easy to stay hot when you're playing the Los Angeles Angels. Totals is 7 here. How do you line this one up?
Before I line this one up, I want to give the people a little bit of a background check here. Well, Kevin took the day off yesterday because, again, word on the street, can't concentrate on Wednesdays for some reason. I don't believe it, but I'm just saying that's what's going around with the water cooler here. But there was a memo sent around that had 62 people in the Sports Grid Network attached to it and said, this is how you do a rundown. So that's the way I'll leave it today as we set up the card in Major League Baseball, because apparently – rundowns were a little bit lacking in the past. Yesterday, a little bit more juice. And today, do we have juice in this game? No, we don't have any juice in this game. Trust me. The Angels and the Tampa Bay Rays line up. Let me give you a little precursor what's going to happen. Trout and Ohtani will be in the lineup. They'll each get base hits, maybe go yard. That means they'll have 2 total runs in this game. And then the Tampa Bay Rays won't do much either. So a 3-2 final here. Because if you look at Sandoval, he's got a decent xFIP number, Kevin, over the past 30 days. Wonderful splits. He's a left-handed pitcher. How about the lefties? A 174 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 292. And then if we flip it over here and say, well, how's Rasmussen done on this season, or particularly the past 30 days? Awesome as well. Last 30 days, 49 batters from the left side. 135 is a weighted on base percentage. Right-handed batters, 56 he's faced, Kevin. A 211. Nobody's scoring down in the trap. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody cares that this game's even being played. But the people need the information to cash in this under.
Speaking of nobody cares, no one probably cares about the rundown thing, but just to put into perspective what Donnie just said, that is the equivalent of Gary Payton Jr. stepping in for Steph Curry in the starting lineup for the Warriors by saying, I think we need better three-point shooting. One of the most ludicrous, and this is coming from you, things you've ever said. We move forward to Cardinals-Cubs here. Now, we do not have a total or a run line listed for Stroman Hudson. And that brings a massive smile to my face. Because I know, doing this show long enough, what that means is nobody knows what's going on with the wind in Chicago. I adore that they still have an ability to post the money line, but they just don't have it. The weatherman up early enough to tell them what to do with the run line and what to do with the total in Chicago.
Yeah, you take a look at games, right? Well, you look at these two pitchers, they're not that bad. But anytime you get windy conditions at Wrigley, everybody wants to know which direction they're going. Because as we know, Kevin, on the show, we pointed out, if it's blowing in 1 mile an hour, you might get dueling no-hitters into extra innings. But if the wind is blowing out, let's just say 10 miles an hour, like it is today. Have you ever seen those memes or those GIFs where people are shopping on, you know, Black Friday here and trying to get those deals where the doors open and they basically just flood the store? This is what people do when they try to get down on Cubs games when it's at Chicago, at Wrigley, and the wind's blowing out, which it is today. So we're going to wait to see some of these lineups and maybe who's going to be the first to set the tone on what this total should be. But anytime you see windy conditions at Wrigley going out, Kevin, that's exactly the way we lean. So we anticipate, say, what's it going to be? 9.5, 10? What's your guess on this one here?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be high, and I'm sure some of that has to do with the way the Cardinals have enjoyed hitting against Marcus Stroman this season. It's two outings. It's an ERA above a 10. It's largely carried by the first go-around in which he gave up 9 earned runs at home and 3 homers. But again, it wasn't all that much better the second time. One little odd note here, Dakota Hudson, Donnie, 22 starts as a Cardinal this year. You would think that's at least 2 appearances versus the Cubs. Hasn't seen them yet this season, Dakota Hudson. Just a little surprising there with the amount that these teams usually would cross paths. We'll see how he matches up against them today. Guardians Mariners is next up on the slate. This is it's a fun little line to look at. All right. Now, this is not Seattle's best, far from it, in Marco Gonzalez. But we talked in hour number one about Guardians respect. To see them favored in Seattle is what we're talking about. They've earned that. Because, yes, Tristan McKenzie is much better than Marco Gonzalez. I'd be stunned if you DRS delivered us anything other than that notion. Not saying the Guardians are going to be your pick, but McKenzie is a much better option on the mound. But still, I feel like a month ago, Seattle maybe is the minus 120 in this game. Some respect here on the board for Cleveland.
Yeah, rightfully so. So you take a look at that minus 120 price there where they are a favorite. 7.5, true pitcher's ballpark. And McKenzie has been decent, particularly over the past 30 days. Gonzalez is one of those guys I like to fade because he's not a great strikeout pitcher. His last month in Major League Baseball, 16% of the batters he has struck out, but also a little bit elevated on both sides of the plate here. Lefty pitchers are supposed to get out lefty batters. He's got a 327 weighted on base percentage over the past month, which isn't bad. Keep in mind, 325 is about that average. Anything higher as a batter is where you would want to be, so it's slight there. But how about this? The ISO power number at a 273 to lefties. 175 is that number you'd like to be at, so that's extremely elevated. To right side here, 370 weighted on base percentage. So for me, my notes kept it simple right now. Guardians hot, stick with the Guardians. I agree. That's showing them a lot of love and respect to go into Seattle, another team playing for the playoffs where they're not throwing necessarily, Kevin, like a tomato can. Hey, spot start for a double-A guy just because we don't have another pitcher available. Gonzalez has been around the block, and that shows a lot of respect for the Guardians that they're favorite with the minus 120 price, and I'll back them at that price.
Yeah, again, Gonzalez, as the year's gone on, those underlying numbers have caught up a little bit. The ERA raising now month over month over month. And Tristan McKenzie is one of the reasons, even though a 9-9 record maybe doesn't represent it, this is a top 25 ERA in baseball. It's been really consistent for Cleveland throughout. Reds, Phillies, yesterday the Reds notched another one. Quickly, update the people here. Bryce Harper. What's the timeline on last year's NL MVP?
The timeline should be now. He should be back to Philadelphia. Here's the one thing I don't understand, if there are legalities in the way, because apparently I'm under the guise that he could come back now at any time. So he had the thumb injury. He was taking batting practice at Citizens Bank Ballpark and crushing baseballs into the upper deck. It wasn't a knee. It wasn't an ankle. It's a thumb. So apparently it's been healed. He goes right to the AAA Lehigh Valley team, and he hits two home runs in his first game back. I believe he went 3 for 5 yesterday. What more do you need to see here? He's not playing in the field. Like, he's not going to be catching baseballs or diving out there or throwing baseballs with his injured elbow. You just need him to swing the bat. And apparently he's good enough right now, Kevin, to swing the bat. Get him back in Philly.
Tell me this, though, and I'm not saying that you'll be satisfied if this is the reason, but are you open to the notion that, hey, we're playing Cincinnati at home, smashing these guys. Next series is 3 at home versus Pittsburgh. Going to be favored in all of those. Then you travel to Arizona. Going to be favored in all of those. Any world where they're sat there right now buying their time on Bryce Harper?
I don't know if they're buying time on him, but the interesting part comes up is what I said. He's not going to be playing the field, which is a shame because Bryce Harper is a very good right fielder. They're going to have to sort of, when he comes back, that takes up that DH spot, which you know what that means. Kyle Schwarber now is going to probably swing over to a different outfield position. And they're not all that excited overall because the Phillies, as we know, according to Keith Hernandez, one of the worst baseball fielding teams that there are. And he's right about that. And you're going to make the team actually worse in the field when Bryce Harper does come back, which is an interesting scenario.
And again, the expectation is at no point Bryce will be able to play the field this year, correct?
Correct. He's not. Yep. Nope. Not at all.
Yeah. So that kind of is a, again, now no one's going to say, we'd rather than just keep Kyle in the DH slot there. But it does, I guess, have one of a con aspect, if you will. Look, here's the deal. We're coming up against the break. We'll give you the analysis on Aaron Nola as a -335 favorite here today against the Cincinnati Reds as they look to complete a 4-game sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies. And a lot more action to break down. You keep it right here to the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview continues. Let's pick up where we left off. Phillies, Reds, Donnie, the Phillies are a monster favorite. What are you doing with this game?
Yeah, Dunn looks like he's going to be on the mound here last 30 days. 6.93 as an xFIP. Doesn't strike many batters out here. Walks too many guys. And how about these splits, Kevin? Left-handed batters who he's faced 38 of those over the past 30 days. A 361 weighted on base percentage. Righties, 547. And I've never seen this before. 23 batters that Dunn has faced from the right side. A 636 ISO power number. Didn't even know if it went that high. So the Philadelphia Phillies should be hitting today in South Philadelphia.
Kyle Schwarber plus 250 for a home run. Hoskins plus 280. Castellanos Riamuto plus 360. Riamuto plus 440 if you're interested, Donnie. He's the main guy that you would look at?
Yeah, he's got 270 at-bats here for JT over the past month against right-handed pitching. 277 as an ISO power number. Match that up with a 399 weighted on-base percentage. Makes some sense to me.
How about it? White Sox-Orioles picks it up next year. I do find it interesting that White Sox-Orioles has so much more juice for you than White Sox-Astros ever could. But nevertheless, man, again, I'm not going to get over this, though. Lance Lynn, who last year with, what, a month to go, Donnie, was the favorite to win AL Cy Young, is going up against Jordan Lyles and the Baltimore Orioles, and it is just minus 120. And to be honest with you, with the way Lance Lynn has been, that might be a little too much respect for the White Sox. Maybe things have changed. How do you see it here, Baltimore and Chicago?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards those White Sox today because it's going to be a matchup against Lyles, the pitcher on the mound here for the Orioles, a 5.20 xFIP over the past 30 days. Now, look, what do we always look at the White Sox here? Lefty on the mound, that means they can really get after it at the plate because they're going to have a lot of right-handed batters in the lineup. But if we take a look at the splits here for Jordan Lyles against right-handed batters and left-handed batters, let's start with the lefties here. 62 batters, Kevin, he's faced from the left side. A 303 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 103. So he's handled his business there against lefties. But how about righties? A 366 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 176. As we know, not many left-handed batters in the lineup today for those Chicago White Sox. Looks like it's going to be Sheets and Moncada, and that's it. So seven right-handed batters. I think they match up well. If you're looking from a perspective of, you know, how's Lance Lynn going to do going up against this Orioles lineup? He doesn't have a bad xFIP over the past month in MLB, a 3.48 strikeout percentage, Kevin, 29%. And how about this walk percentage? 1% of the batters that he's faced, which is well over 100. So he's not giving away very many free passes. If he can keep those right-handed bats down with a 329 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 256, which isn't very good, you sort of lean on those left-handed batters. And by the way, talking about left-handed batters, maybe Lance Lynn pitching to a little bit of his strength. You got Mullins, Rutschman, Santander, Vavra, Stowers, and Odor from the left-hand side. So a heavy left-handed lineup when really Lynn has actually struggled with right-handed batters.
Interesting. And Lynn, just to the kind of overall point you mentioned the last 30 days here, that ERA over the month of August right now is 304. And that's not dazzling Cy Young stuff, which is what he started off with for a lot of last season. But the prior 2 months, we're talking about a guy that was at a 6.42. I mean, he was a nightmare for the Chicago White Sox. If he is starting to turn the corner in the right direction, that is big for Chicago, who, while at the moment, I don't want to say it feels like they're out of it, but they're up against it. The way the AL Central has been, snap your fingers, fast forward to next Thursday, and I feel like the thing will look different because that's just the way it has gone. How about Rockies Mets here? The Mets play the Yanks twice in the Bronx. They lose both. They're looking to get right. Well, they're looking like, I believe, the single biggest favorites we have seen all Major League Baseball season. Jacob DeGrom against the Colorado Rockies, -450 at home. -450, Donnie. What are we doing with this baseball game here?
It should be an easy win, but the more important question is here is why was DeGrom pushed back in that last start against the New York Yankees? Why did they feel the need to give him an extra 2 days when we thought he was completely healthy and dealing in Major League Baseball? We're saying that he couldn't stand up to that Yankee Bronx cheer crowd where he might get lit up and that's going to ruin his confidence the rest of the way, and there's no way he can win a World Series if he loses to the Yankees. Well, he started against a really bad baseball team in the Rockies, so what do we anticipate today? Kevin, 7 innings pitched, 99 total pitches or less, 12 strikeouts, and an easy Mets victory because, quite frankly, even if he doesn't pitch well, I don't think that's all that matters today because that lineup for the New York Mets should, and I say should, be able to hit against the Rockies because in those two games against the Yankees, I actually took back-to-back Mets team totals to the over, and they didn't even show up to the plate at all. But if we're just looking at past 30-day statistics here, going up against right-handed pitching, and Feltner is a bad right-handed pitcher with an xFIP of close to 6, right-handed batters at a 421 weighted on base percentage, we'll get a pretty good look today because if we're looking at the first 7 batters in the lineup here for the New York Mets, take a look at these weighted on base percentages, 347, 368, 448, 411, 428, 417. Then you throw in a 298 in there for Pete Alonso. Come on, Pete, 298, what are you doing over here? Mets should win easy today, but 4 minus 450, they're not even like a parlay piece at that point with that price.
Certainly not, certainly not. Now, and here's the thing quickly with DeGrom, because I think you're messing around, though. I think some people were like, oh, DeGrom ducking the Yankees. I mean, did we see what the Yanks were doing? I don't think he was ducking a team that was providing absolutely zero offensive juice. I think of that as last outing against Atlanta, he went to 95 pitches, which was almost 20 more than he had thrown on the season. And it's one of those things where I'm very interested to see how long DeGrom goes tonight. Because, look, it's not you never know. But, Donnie, it's safe to assume that after 6 innings, Jacob DeGrom will probably have allowed at most 1 run. Where usually you'd say, okay, he's coming back out for the 7th. What's the pitch count? And what's the actual length that they're willing to let DeGrom go? Because we talk about wanting to see DeGrom healthy. That's not just available, right? But it's, I don't want DeGrom's cap to be 80 pitches when you are out there in the postseason, right, Tierra? So tonight, look, again, like you said, they're not a parlay piece, but this is an interesting game to see how long DeGrom is allowed to go.
Yes, and also, what are we going to be looking at? Ooh, first inning. Ooh, we touched 99. Seems good here. One of those things that everybody gets all geeked up about in the first inning. You'll see it sometimes come around Twitter. Hey, Michael Kopech only throwing his fastball at 93 miles an hour in the first inning. That's 3 miles an hour less than what he usually throws upon average. So we'll know right away with Jacob deGrom. I'm not sounding any alarm bells, but it was just kind of interesting where there was nothing from days in advance going, hey, you know what, deGrom was fantastic. We're going to stretch him out even more throughout the remainder of the season to make sure he's healthy and revitalized for the playoffs. We just got one of those, hey, by the way, game day, yeah, we're going to push deGrom back 2 days. Why? Just because we feel like it. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, totally understandable there. Look, the Toronto Blue Jays have really enjoyed their games against the Boston Red Sox this season. They've beat them five times in a row now. Overall on the season, they have won every single series they have played versus them, which includes this one. It's a matter of whether it's going to be a sweep or not, and Gausman is on the mound. The Blue Jays are favored at Fenway Park. Match this one up for me.
Yeah, I lost a team total yesterday on the Blue Jays. Only were able to get three runs. Game even went to extra innings. So there was that backboard where maybe things could get a little bit crazy, but they did not. Actually, today, we see that total listed at 9. Hey, Donnie's going over for an over with Boston. It makes a lot of sense. No, it doesn't. I'm actually looking at the under today between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. Gausman has been wonderful over the past 30 days. Has a great season so far. 28% of the batters he's faced, Kevin, over the past month, he has struck out. It's over 110 batters that he's faced. Lefties at 227, weighted on base percentage, and righties at a 328. And that Boston lineup, certainly not what we thought it was going to be entering into the season. Let's take a look at Cutter Crawford on the mound today for the Boston Red Sox. His xFIP is a little bit high, approaching 5. He doesn't strike out that many batters, but take a look at the splits here, Kevin. We know what the Toronto Blue Jays do well. They bring the lumber from the right-hand side. Today in the lineup, only looks like Kevin Biggio and Jackie Bradley Jr., two guys not having great offensive seasons, will be from the left side in the 8-hole and the 9-hole. Why is that important? If we're looking at Crawford, he's got 64 batters under his wing over the past month, 292 weighted on base percentage, and a 148 ISO to right-handed batters. That's exactly the strength of the Toronto Blue Jays, so he has that matchup on his side. If it were the left-hand side, Kevin, a 450 weighted on base percentage and a 400 ISO power number. So if this were the Arizona Diamondbacks today, we've been having a Boston Tea Party, per se, taking them and saying, give me whatever number you have. But I actually think the under makes sense because Crawford's going to be pitching to his strengths against those Toronto Blue Jays right-handed bats.
Quickly on Gausman, we've talked about it before, but he owns the Boston Red Sox this year. 4 total starts, 4 runs earned over the course of those starts, pitching to a 1.38 ERA. Strikeout prop, usually not a trend better, but if you are, he's seen them 4 times. 8 Ks, 9 Ks, 10 Ks, 10 Ks. Dominant every single time in that department as well. 6.5 at a plus price right now on FanDuel. Let's sneak it in, Donnie. It's the Yanks versus Caprillion. Fingers crossed, eyes closed. Is it a Yanks team total over? Come on.
Yes, if you're taking it live. After the 5th inning when the Yanks don't have any runs, go ahead and press that button on over 1, and you'll probably be successful here. My goodness.
No. Is that the approach? Is this an under now with a Caprillion on the mound? Like that can't be.
Yeah.
That cannot be.
Usually we'd have a Caprillion start and you'd say a 6 ERA. Look at that. Like, it even matches up. Like, last 30, he's been terrible against right-handed batters. Look at the Yankees lineup tonight. Judge, a 452 weighted on base percentage and a 355 ISO. Home runs all night by Judge. Everybody else might as well be, like, down in single A or playing for the Trenton Thunder at this point.
Judge team total over. I mean, check out.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
that's it.
Man, you know, we're at a bad point in time, man. If Donnie is lining up Caprillion games, saying under, good thing we're hitting a break because I need to digest that. I don't like that at all. Up next, though, how about a Big 12 preview here? Texas back. OU, no Lincoln Riley. It's all coming on up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get to it. The Big 12 preview is now. At some point, this conference will look very different, but today is not that day because at the top of the odds board, it's Oklahoma and it's Texas. Let's get right into it, Donnie. OU has a big season coming up because Lincoln Riley is gone and Brett Venables is in. And this makes for a really interesting setup here. A team that is plus 190 to win the Big 12 because Lincoln Riley has been viewed, right, before his departure, where people, I think, have tried to rewrite history on Lincoln Riley. He has been viewed as one of, at least I would say, the 10 best, if not a top five coach in college football. Brett Venables is getting his first crack as a legit head coach. But because Venables is a defensive mastermind, and that is where OU has lacked for so long, there still remains optimism around the Sooners. The FanDuel Sportsbook, it is an unbelievably juicy 8.5 at minus 180. Perhaps a more palatable 9 approaches at some point, but that is what we are dealing with. Year one of Brett Venables, what do you think about Oklahoma?
This is a very, you know, and I like to use the term interesting just to say the least here, because if you're a Power 5 school, typically you can just reload. Now, granted, they lost their star quarterback and their best running back. That's never a good thing. But a program like Oklahoma and Alabama, right, they're just going to say, all right, we're usually in the national scene and we draft pick 5-star guys each and every year in the recruiting race. But I look at this and I say to myself, are we overvaluing Oklahoma or actually really undervaluing them at this point? Because sometimes it takes a look at, it's not really, okay, you got your quarterback here, transfer Dylan Gabriel. We'll see how that goes. We have a plethora of running backs we can just plug in, and we'll just trust in that Venables comes over, runs a pretty good defense, and that offense will figure itself out. Because if you're looking at that number 8.5, it is heavily juiced at this point. And that's based on, if you look at the actual scheduling, Kevin, you play Texas. It's not a true road game. It's basically a 50-50 split that they play down in the Cotton Bowl, and that's what they do each and every year. But the other quote-unquote tough games for me, for them, Kevin, Oklahoma State and Baylor, both of those games at home in Oklahoma, where you have a nice home field advantage at this point. So if we're looking up and down the schedule myself, without saying, and if Lincoln, let's just say Lincoln Riley stayed there, he'd be saying, oh my goodness, 9 wins, he's going to figure it out here, I'm not going to worry about that. But the coaching change does worry me a little bit. But at the same time, is it really going to be that hard for them to win 9 games when just about every game is in their building, even if they don't win them all, right? You split, you go 1-2 or 2-1 in those. I think there's a legitimate chance they get over, but it is heavily juiced in that direction here.
The thing about OU, right, and this schedule, is this is the difference between going to Nebraska and bringing Alabama into your building, right? When we talk about kind of college football playoff hopes there. Because Oklahoma at Nebraska, it depends how good Nebraska looks to start the season. I'm not telling you that Nebraska is going to be laying a 7, but the number might be a little tighter than you would think when you run through the preliminaries. I mean, Texas is catching over 2 touchdowns at home, and it might close at 3 touchdowns against Texas, right? So again, that's why one team's 8.5 minus 180, and we'll get to Texas in a minute, but it's plus 120. I cannot deny the OU schedule lines up. But there's too many question marks for me, DRS. I understand that Brett Venables is great, but the talent drop-off that he is dealing with from those dogs over at Clemson and what OU is going to have on the defensive side of the football is quite a bit. I know they bring over Dylan Gabriel and there is excitement there, but there's going to, I think, be a drop-off on the offensive side of the ball with Lincoln Riley gone. And we talk about talent, right? I mean, Lincoln was able to bring a lot with him. DRS. The first team all Big 12, offense, defense, special teams, is one Oklahoma player, and it is their punter. What? Donnie, since when is OU not just filling out, right? At least first team all offense. That's just not the way this group lines up here. Too many question marks for me year one. If this was a flat 9, we could talk under. But the schedule's too easy to go under the 8.5. But their kind of gap that they have with Texas, I question a little bit. And let's make the move to Texas right now because they're also sat here at an 8.5. The juice, though, is a little bit different. It's plus 120 now when we talk about an over. Excitement on Quinn Ewers, the Buckeyes transfer. Bijan Robinson still in town. Match up the Longhorns for me, DRS. A big year for Sark coming off of a disappointing 5-7 season that included a loss to the Kansas Jayhawks at home.
Are we going to be screaming Texas is back when they take on Alabama? Well, probably not at this point here, but it is Sark year number two. As much as we take a look at Venables here, it's something you have to get in the flow. You have to get the kids used to practicing. It's not just these guys on the recruiting trail and setting up their scheme. You just have to get used to the coach and what he likes and what he dislikes. And the coach is still getting used to a new 90 players on his team that he wasn't used to. It wasn't as if you had a couple years already embedded there. So if you look at Sark, he should be better off this year. And you are getting an ultra-talented quarterback in Ewers that's going to start. And what better way to break in a younger quarterback and the football to one of the best running backs in the country? That should work. If we're looking at their tougher games here, Kevin, obviously Alabama, it is at home. Obviously Oklahoma, that's not a true road game. It's not obviously in the Cotton Bowl. We just talked about that there. Oklahoma State on the road will be a tough one, and Baylor. So you actually have four really tough matchups to get into. It seems like that 8.5 is a common theme point here for the Big 12. But if I'm looking overall for Texas, I still need to see it on the field. I do think Sark's going to get this team together before they head into the SEC. Recruiting looks fantastic. Maybe a year ahead of schedule if we think they're going to have a sensational year for Texas. If I look at that number over 8.5 at a plus 120, there's a reason for that. There's a reason we just looked at Oklahoma over 8.5, and it's a minus 180. I don't know if the full talent is there yet, and we're just taking a leap of faith saying, this kid was really good in high school. He went to Ohio State as a lost year, pocketed like $1 million, and now he's our starting quarterback. I need to see it out of this kid, and maybe you wait till after that game against Oklahoma to see, after they play Alabama to see what they really are. I'm leaning under. I'm leaning under on those Longhorns this year.
I'm going to trust Quinn Ewers more than you. And I mentioned the all Big 12 teams, Donnie, the quarterbacks. Spencer Sanders, first team. Right, Dylan Gabriel, second team, JT Daniels, third team. Yeah, I tell you what, right now, Quinn Ewers is better than all. Donnie, you and I bet Oklahoma State last year over. That is not because Spencer Sanders is a first-team quality quarterback. He was good in his spots, okay? But Quinn Ewers is far more talented than that. This team is way more talented than that. Here's the thing on Texas, Donnie. Last year, three consecutive weeks in a row, they played Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor, and they lost all three. They held double-digit third-quarter leads against every single one of them. Again, that is the difference between a team at a time that entered the OU game at 4-1, holding on, Donnie, being 7-1 and college football playoff conversations beginning. That's just the truth of it there for Texas. And this is probably a more talented team. They bring Gary Patterson in to help on the defensive side of the football, which is needed. I think Quinn Ewers is going to be an upgrade at the quarterback position. And here's the deal. Again, the Bama game, punted. If you go over 8.5 and they beat Bama, they might as well pay you right then and there because it means they might just be the best team in college football. But, Donnie, like you said, the OU game, it's a neutral, but it shades at home, if you will. And here's the other story about it. I think Baylor and Oklahoma State are in for drop-off seasons. Don't be surprised if they are favored at Oklahoma State by the time we get to that game. I don't think the schedule is as daunting, and a plus price on 8.5, it does really catch my attention here on Texas. Let me ask you this, though, because I know we want to get to our favorite win totals. So I'll tell you this right now. Texas is mine at 8.5 at plus 120. Ooh. That's how much I actually think that this team is going to be able to bounce back. I think the schedule's there. I think they're the most talented in the Big 12. And I think you take those almost wins from last season and turn them into wins this year. I think their value to win the Big 12 overall is legitimate as well. Yes, I know it takes, you take a deep breath before you say it, but I think we are going to be talking about Texas is back when this season is over. I don't think it's college football playoff level because, again, you're basically starting with a loss right now against Bama. You're going to have to run the table to get in the CFP, but I do like Texas this year. Donnie, we'll get to your favorite win total, but I think we have enough time to bring up a team that you and I have to talk about quickly, which is Oklahoma State. We both bet them over last year. It was something that we both got correct. Are you back with the Cowboys this season?
I think we're back with the Cowboys this season. We take a look here at that price of a plus 110 to go over 8.5, and it seems like every team we talked about today, if they can get to that 9-win plateau, they were cash in on these tickets. But if we're looking at the tough games on the schedule here, they didn't do them any favors. At Baylor, at Oklahoma, and then, of course, Texas that they're going to come up with, which they will have at home. But I do like the fact that they do have seven starters back on the offensive side of the football, and also Sanders. Let's keep in mind with Sanders, so many times you talk about a quarterback, how many touchdown passes as he has, but a dual threat guy. guy, which is always going to help you out. Gundy back for another year. It's almost a principal play that we talk about here, K-Dub, where you got to like Oklahoma State, and I do like them coming into the season. 9 wins, certainly a possibility for me at that plus price.
I owe this team enough respect to not bet their under, but it is an under. Donnie, you know this, like last year, we got there, and in terms of gap, we got there with ease. Yeah. But remember the first 3 games, right? The first 3 games last year on Oklahoma State's schedule were Missouri State, Tulsa, and Boise State. Yep. When you and I broke it down, we said, hey, that should be 3-0. They beat Missouri State by 7. They beat Tulsa by 5 and Boise by 1. Yep. And guess what? Yep. It felt like the sweats continued all year long. They've lost talent. Spencer Sanders is back. All right. I'm telling you right now that's not the best quarterback in the Big 12. I'm telling you, he is not. This team is due for some regression. They were just so good in those one-score football games. And as you mentioned, right, at Baylor, at TCU, at OU, that's a really tough road schedule there in Big 12 play. I am not about this OU group. We absolutely do have the time, though, Don, for you to tell people where your favorite win total in the Big 12 comes on in. Talk to me here. Who has your eye?
Yeah, I wanted to take a plus money number, but couldn't find it. But since I took the last 2 teams at a plus money number to go over the team total, I'm going to lay some wood in this one and take Kansas State. 6.5 at a -160 price to go to the over. I'm looking at a running back here, Deuce Vaughn. 1,400-plus yards on the ground last year. How about as a receiver? 468. So the dual threat guy and also coming over. I like veteran quarterbacks. You give me a 22-year-old starter who's been through the wars here, good or bad, at Nebraska and Martinez, I'll take that here. If we're looking at the schedule overall, opens up South Dakota, Missouri, Tulane at Oklahoma. If you can at least be 2-2 at a worst-case scenario through those first 4 games, I think you're going to be able to compete the rest of the way. I'm banking on Martinez running his way into 7 wins here.
Let me keep the Kansas theme going then just quickly here, all right? With the Kansas Jayhawks, though. Again, my favorite is going to be Texas over the 8.5. But there was considerations. I just couldn't do it to myself again because of how heartbreaking the Duke thing was last year for me. But the Kansas 2.5, how does it not have your eye, Donnie? Last year, a 2-win football team. Leopold has them trying to turn that corner. They bring back a decent amount of talent. They play Tennessee Tech week 1, should be obviously a major win. Mm-hmm. They're going to host Duke, which again, that's going to be a battle for the heart there. The problem and the reason why I think it's hard to get to that Kansas over is it has to be a home game if it's going to be Texas, TCU, and Iowa State, and Oklahoma State are the 4 home games. You need them. Look, maybe they do it on the road. That'd be stunning. It's a tough schedule for Kansas, but they might just have some juice on that 2.5 number. That'll do it for me on the early line. I'll see you on Moneyline, though. Don't worry about it. Before you go anywhere, DRS wraps it up. Listen up on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day for the early line on a Thursday. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow on a Football Friday here on the network, so a lot of fun. Covered a lot of topics today, too. Both myself and Kevin Walsh here, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the grid, and we talked Major League Baseball. We had some NBA talk. We even talked about maybe there might be some value in preseason week number 3, but we all know and we are excited for what happens this weekend. The college football season week 0 does get underway. How about we take a look at another quarterback for Heisman this year? Listen up. Be quiet. Where did all the fun go in college football? Why is the Heisman Trophy turned into just a quarterback trophy here? If we look since 2010, you know how many quarterbacks have been selected as the Heisman Trophy winner? 10 times over that time frame here. The only 2 players that are a little bit different than a quarterback, you guessed it, Devonta Smith of the Philadelphia Eagles, a wide receiver, and another Alabama Crimson Tide legend, Derrick Henry, who now obviously is with the Tennessee Titans and running wild over the NFL. But if you're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning here, because those odds are going to be due to changing throughout the season, but this week we get a look. How about C.J. Stroud plus 200, Bryce Young a plus 400, quarterback. How about Caleb Williams goes out to USC from Oklahoma, 6-1. Guess what? He's a quarterback. DJ Uiagalelei. How about that? 25-1 quarterback from Clemson. Oh, no. Look at this. Will Anderson, a defensive end in college football for the Alabama Crimson Tide. It seems like if anybody's going to win a Heisman Trophy outside of quarterback, it has to apparently come from Alabama. So nice to see, because even behind him, Dylan Gabriel, quarterback. Henderson, running back. Van Dyke, quarterback. Bijan Robinson, running back. You very rarely get to see this upper echelon type talent, even if you are on defense, having a chance or even an opportunity to win the Heisman. Will Anderson at 30-1, that would be amazing if he was able to win the Heisman Trophy. But that'll do it today for the Early Line. Make sure you stay tuned right now for Ben Stevens and the Morning After right here on The Grid.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.